Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, Browns fans, before we get started, just want to thank the sponsors of today's show. Head to omahasteaks.com/dogs, D-A-W-G-S, right now and use promo code DOGS when you check out. Take advantage of the 50% off site-wide sale, plus you'll get 8 free burgers with your order. And again, use that code DOGS when you check out to get $30 off your order. And Danger Coffee. Get 10% off at dangercoffee.com/dogs. Use promo code DOGS. 10% off mold-free, toxin-free, delicious coffee.
So that we are going to get to a voicemail now. We do have a voicemail we want to get to before we talk about the next award. This one's from Kenny Mack.
Yo, guys, it's Kenny Mack, and shout out to all our guys nominated in all those categories that won. But we got to talk about the defensive player of the year. I mean, what's going on, Steelers fan? You got to just take your little yellow towel and dry your eyes and get over this. There's two things that you guys are doing right now. Number one, you're saying it's fixed or rigged. And the other thing is you keep using the word they. First of all, explain who they is. Who's against you? Who is the they? Is it just the Browns fans? Is it us? Is it the NFL? Is it all of America? Like, what is going on here, guys? Next thing is, just saying this stuff is fixed or rigged. Like, come on, you can say like a game like the Super Bowl's fixed or rigged, but like the defensive player of the year, like generally you're stand to lose money or you're going to gain like power or influence. What does the NFL, now tell me this because I've said this online, what does the NFL stand to gain from this? Like, this award is chosen by 50 people and they watch way more tape than you and I. So take it up with them. I mean, the Watt just didn't win the award. And Micah Parsons got her back. I mean, watch the tape. Stats are stats. Go Brownies.
So obviously that takes us into Miles winning his first and well-deserved Defensive Player of the Year award. Mm-hmm. I've never seen a fan base melt down over an award that they...
Oh, man, that, it's been bad.
That they say they don't care. Nobody, so true. All we care is about Super Rings. Bowls anyways. Well, then why are you in our mentions talking about it? for a group of people who don't care, you're very salty. I've been very proud of Josh online, just like picking
every day, man. It's every day. And did you see the trap I set today about Chris Jones?
It was very good.
It was awesome. I said that Chris Jones really sucked last night in the Super Bowl. He had 4 tackles, no sacks, no tackles for loss, just complete box score, non-existent, disappearing act. He's a fraud and all this stuff. And I had so many Steelers fans that I've already argued with this weekend saying, what are you talking about? He forced Purdy into a couple throws that would have been touchdowns if he hadn't put pressure on him. I'm like, thank you for stepping into my trap, you dipshit.
Doesn't matter, says Steelers fans are still in denial stage. There's at least 3 more steps to go before healing can happen. Bargaining, depression, and acceptance. It's a very good point. That's good. I've never seen a fan base become so unraveled over something. And we got people on Facebook coming at us like, well, all we care is about Super Bowls and AFC championships, blah, blah. Guys, I don't know. It's not the 2010s anymore or the 2000s or the 1970s. You have done, you're completely irrelevant in terms of postseason football. And I'm not saying that the Browns are the relevant team in this situation, but I'm not the one spouting off that all we care about is the Super Bowls. Super Bowls, well, you see, Antonio Holmes hasn't been in the league in a really long time, guys.
Yeah, it's been like 15 years.
We have more playoff wins in your stadium in the last 5 years than you do. So there stop. If all you cared about was Super Bowls and AFC championships, then you wouldn't be so butthurt that TJ Watt didn't win this award.
You're right, man. It's all week and it's been, well, take your participation trophy, your pity trophy. You know, who really cares about winning an award that, you know, doesn't mean anything or isn't deserved? And I'm like, boy, you guys are really, really upset about this.
This person says, if it takes you 8 seconds to get a sack, is that better than forcing the QB to get rid of the ball in 2 seconds? Exactly.
I've had so many arguments about this where, oh, it's driving me insane.
And here's the deal too, is this is, I think, where the difference between like us and Steelers fans are. I can think that Myles Garrett deserved to be Defensive Player of the Year and still right. say TJ Watt is, awesome.
A great player.
If Parsons would have won, I'd have said, yeah, okay, cool. He deserved that. If Crosby would have won, same thing. Watt, same thing.
Yes.
What's the big deal?
Exactly. I'm not. If TJ Watt would have won, I wouldn't have been screaming that I wouldn't be losing my mind.
No, we'd be like, okay.
Because cool. I can recognize that Myles Garrett and TJ Watt can both be top level great players. Steelers fans just, they don't have it. Maybe it's like the inbred. I don't know what it is, but they just don't have the ability to be like, only one can, they're like the Highlander. Only one can be yeah. great. There can be only one. That just shows like how old and nerdy I am. Yeah, I'm referencing for the sure. Highlander.
So one thing real quick, can I nerd out for a second? Can I do some,
yeah, absolutely,
some stats? Bro. Because I was telling Justin before the show, I said, you know, I feel like maybe we were a little unfair to Miles over that, you know, last stretch of the season where we were saying too, like what, you know, he's not doing anything out there. Sometimes you get a little frustrated as fans, but you know, I looked at the kind of the deeper metrics, and after he got that shoulder injury in the Denver game, remember he came out, said, I felt a pop in my shoulder, left in a sling. We thought, oh shit, he's going on IR. Like, we just lost Garrett. He played the rest of the season. And after that game, he came out against the Rams and he only had two total pressures in that game. And then after that, he had four of his, the next four games were four of his highest pressure rate games of the entire season. So he was getting after the quarterback, and what I went through and looked up, every single quarterback that we faced had one of their lowest time to throws against the Browns over that stretch. Like what their season average was, they were at least a full tenth or 2/10 of a second, and that's a lot. Mm-hmm. To throw the football less than what they were on their season average.
That's so a step. And people might not think that's a lot, but a step in the NFL is the difference between a batted pass and a touchdown.
Yes, and all these Steeler fans come in saying, oh, well, you know, he doesn't finish the play. I said, you know, what good's a pass rush if he doesn't get the sack? I said, how's he supposed to get the sack if the quarterback already threw the ball? And I looked it up, and he was getting there in under, all these pressures are under 2.5 seconds. So that's how you get a pressure. It's got to be within 2.5 seconds, beat your man. And all of the quarterbacks were getting rid of the ball under that time. And the average time to throw was like 2.78 or something on the season. And all the quarterbacks we faced kept it under that number. So opposing coaches and coordinators and quarterbacks were saying, here's how we can move the ball against the Browns, get rid of the ball fast.
The butthurt Squealers fans on the Facebook AFC North Trash Talk group are having a complete meltdown. I've been pounding them mercilessly.
Keep pounding, baby. We are too. It is so much fun.
And I'll tell you what, it's a fan base that is realizing like
the window may be closing.
Yes. And obviously it seems like they're always going to be competitive because of the culture they have and the coach they have. Yep. And again, we've never come on here and said that like you guys are irrelevant. You guys are the ones who can't see both sides to anything. That being said, like your team, like you better hope Arthur Smith is the answer. Now I see they're going after Ryan Tannehill.
I saw that too. I said, bring him in, baby.
I love all that.
You know what I mean? Yep.
Like, I'm here for that.
Like, it's like, are they not going to learn? I'm not saying Ryan Tannehill is trash, but
he was
that's not the guy I'd be
he's
going
not
after
it.
Yeah.
Right he's, now.
If it was 4 or 5 years ago, I'd be like, oh,
yeah. So, like, it's a team that still thinks it's 1970s or 2010. You, for a team that thinks they're so awesome, you had Prime Ben, Prime AB, Prime Le'Veon Bell, Troy Polamalu, James Harrison. You won one Super Bowl with those guys.
You want to know what's interesting about James Harrison?
If Troy was still on the team with that year, I don't remember all. That was so long ago. I was literally 15.
So they're all saying that Miles didn't lead the league in any of the stats as far as tackles, sacks, tackles for loss, forced fumbles. Mm. Like, those are the kind of the main things they throw in your face. And if you go back and look at when James Harrison won Defensive Player of the Year for the Steelers in 2009, neither did he. He didn't lead in any category. Yeah.
Like, you can lead. Who's the linebacker who used to play for the Browns? The white guy. Went to Carolina, I think.
He went to Jacksonville.
Schobert?
Schobert. Yep. That dude had lots of tackles. Should he have been Defensive Player of the Year?
Right, exactly.
You know what I mean?
You look at, like, Lamar Jackson didn't lead in passing yards, didn't lead in touchdowns.
So he was barely top 10 in any of that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he wasn't. And so what? It's just wild. And some of the comebacks that they come back with after you point simple things out to them, it's just, you know, they're melting down because they'll say, well, we own you.
How many Super Bowls you guys got? Yeah,
I saw somebody say, we own you. I said, you mean since we beat you guys in 2020 and ended Ben's career, you guys have absolutely fallen off. And this year we beat you with DTR. You finished behind us in the AFC North. I don't think you can say you own us.
I'm pretty sure if you go back like 5 years, we're essentially like we might be 500 with them, or it's a game either way.
Yeah,
and we beat them in a playoff game at their field.
Right.
So again, it's a what have you done for me lately league. I don't care what happened 7 or 8, 9 years ago. I guess that's where Steelers fans.
Well, live. And they say the same thing because I always point out they're like, well, how many Super Bowls you got? We got 6. I say, well, the Browns have 8 Pro Football Championships. Oh, nobody cares about things that happened over 50 years ago. I said, well, I don't give a shit about things that happened over 10 years ago. Yeah. So that means we're 0-0.
If we don't get to count our 8 championships, then why do you get to count anything in your history?
Yeah.
Where's the line? You could care about things at 25 years, but not 26 years.
Exactly.
At 27 years, but not, like, where's the line? They're so dumb.
They are very, they're dumb. And that's what I've been saying to a lot of people. There's a lot of football illiteracy is what I'm calling it. Coming out of Pittsburgh, and this whole—I never would have thought that a Defensive Player of the Year award, not going to their guy, could do this. But it has exposed them as like idiots. They know nothing, and it's just—it cracks me up that it all comes down even from T.J. Watt himself. Like, he went to Twitter immediately and just posted nothing I'm not used to. While Micah Parsons out there, like, yeah, okay, good for you, Miles. You know, yeah, you deserve that.
Nothing I'm not
being
used
a little
to,
bitch.
Like, at what point in your life have you just really had it so hard? Like, nothing I'm not used to. Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, I was a first-round draft pick.
Good point.
Oh, man, I've been Defensive Player of the Year. Oh, man, everybody knows that I'm one of, like, the top 5 defensive players. I'm always so put down. No, you're not. Shut the fuck up. You've literally lived life on a silver platter for the last 10 years. Nothing I'm not used to? What? Oh, my. Victim mentality.
Freaking. Oh, my gosh.
Oh my God.
I said immediately that I lost so much respect. And the thing is, I respected T.J. Watt. We always talk about T.J. Watt's one of the best defensive players in the league. And he comes out and does this shit. And it's like, you can't even congratulate a fellow peer in winning an award. I just lost a lot of respect for T.J. Watt.
The only thing worse than that was his brother's hair last night.
Man, that was wild, bro.
Was it 2003 again? Yeah. I was surprised he wasn't wearing like the white seashell necklace and like some cargo shorts and maybe some Birkenstocks.
Yeah.
I was like, what is this? What is going on with this dude? Who said, hey man, you can go on TV like that?
You figure they kind of.
It's not like I'm over here. I'm not Mr. Style. I mean, I got like a borderline buzz cut. I'm just like a normal Joe Schmo guy. I'm fat guy, black cheeks. Okay. But I'm not going on TV with like that. Holy, I was like, what the fuck is he
doing? Yeah, we all kind of.
He looked like he stuck his, there's so much gel. I didn't know they still made hair gel.
No, they do.
Well, they don't because he took it off.
Like it was like, is that LA? Was it LA
Looks? LA Looks.
LA Looks. Oh, man. I was like, what is going on? Yeah. I did want to address Face Disabler up here. Said, let's not throw shade at Joe Schobert. He did what he could.
I wasn't a
Joe Schobert fan. I was just saying the dude, he had lots of tackles and nobody was clamoring for him to be defense player.
Exactly. No, that was not shade. That was just an example.
But yeah, so congratulations to Miles. Hopefully he can build on this. Again, I would love for Miles to be able to not have an injury, put together an entire season, but the fact that he tore his shoulder up and still had a huge impact on the game.
Yep.
And like people have said, if you gave any coach in the league, you can pick between Myles Garrett or TJ Watt, I would say 95% of them at least are taking Myles Garrett.
Mm-hmm.
It's just you. When we're Browns fans, I understand that there's a lot of people bitching right now online, and they don't watch the games. They're just being, you know, dicks. But well, Myles Garrett, I mean, when he rushes the passer, it's ferocious and relentless. And another thing that we have gone this entire segment without mentioning is how many times he gets held. And I know that they all get held.
Oh, bro.
But yeah. Just go to Google. Everybody listening, watching, go to Google. Take 5 minutes and just type in Myles Garrett hold. And look at the pictures. There are so many different screenshots from all the games this year with his shoulder pads up here, his face being ripped this way. It's
all
crazy.
Of them, though, dude. That's all of them.
If you go back,
bro, I saw some replays from last night.
Yeah.
On that game winning, on like the game winning drive for the Chiefs, Nick Bosa is just being like literally tackled.
I guess my point with that is he's still able to
impact the game,
to record a pressure within that 2.5 second
despite the hold.
Oh, and another thing real quick in ESPN stat, because I know a lot of people do not like PFF, they want to cry about that, so let's look at ESPN. Myles Garrett, when he was facing a single team, just one blocker, had a 30% pass rush win rate. That was number two according to ESPN. Michael Parsons is at 35, so he was number one, and then TJ Watt was down at 25. Myles Garrett, when he's facing a double team, his pass rush win rate was 29. So he dropped from 30% to 29%, which was number one. TJ Watt dropped from 25 to 14 against double teams.
Oh. When have you ever seen two tight ends follow TJ Watt around?
That
on
Titans
the field?
Game was awesome.
That's another thing too. I don't watch enough Steelers games, TJ Watt doesn't go down and play inside.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. With the 320-pound guards and centers, Miles plays up and down the line now that Jim Schwartz is here. So, congratulations to Miles. I mean, just keep rubbing it. Anytime you see a Steelers fan from now until whenever they finally decide to let it go, just keep rubbing it in their face.
I can't wait to get back on Twitter after the show and just start going back at them. It's been fun. It has been a good time. This episode is brought to you by Omaha Steaks. Browns fans, you know my household runs on Omaha Steaks, and that's why I'm so excited that 50% off site-wide is back. That's right. It's Omaha Steaks President's Day sale, and right now, listeners of this show can go to omahasteaks.com/dogs, D-A-W-G-S, use promo code DOGS when you check out, and get 8 free burgers with your order. With the price of food and meat nowadays being sky high, these are my favorite sales of the year because nothing can beat 50% off all the juicy, tender steaks, burgers, chicken, pork, seafood, etc. Plus, grab a package with the caramel apple tartlets for dessert. I never order anything from Omaha Steaks without getting those caramel apple tartlets. Take advantage of this sale right now before it's over. That's 50% off site-wide at omahasteaks.com/dogs. Use promo code DOGS and get 8 free burgers with your order. Hey, Ohio, if you haven't downloaded the BetMGM app yet, you'll definitely want to take advantage of this limited time offer. New users who sign up through our link must deposit $10 and place a first wager of $5 on any live bet. Once your bet is placed, you will instantly receive $150 in bonus bets. You will get 3 bonus bet tokens of $50, allowing you to make multiple wagers with your bonuses. This offer is only available if you sign up through our link, which you can find in the description below, or scan the QR code on your screen to start signing up. This offer is only available for new customers who are 21 and older and physically present in Ohio. Please gamble responsibly. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Check the episode description for the full terms of the offer to see if you qualify. So looking at the sacks, like I said, 13 sacks in 10 games, that came out to 1.3 sacks per game. And then immediately after the injury, that number dropped to just 1 sack over the final 6 games. So there's no doubt, there's no question. The injury was an obvious factor in the overall production, I guess, in terms of the box score and the stat sheet for Myles Garrett. Because you don't just drop from, I mean, the dude was on a 22 sack pace over 16, 17 game season. He was on pace for 22 sacks. and he ended with 14. So you don't just go from a 22 sack pace to essentially zero without something external causing that to happen. And, you know, I saw a lot of people posting how Myles Garrett's stats are always lower in the last third of the season each year. And when I look at that, to me, it's like, well, you know, no shit. When a guy plays the entire season, when is he more likely to be as close to healthy as possible earlier in the season? When is a player most likely to be dealing with various injuries that he has sustained over the course of the season? Later in the season. And as a side note, anyone who says, oh, the second half of the season, he disappeared. It was six games. Last I checked, teams play 17 games, not 12. So it was not a half of the season. It was the final third of the season when people are referring to when they say that. So I know a lot of this is kind of common sense. Obviously, guys are going to be more likely to be injured later in the season than they are early. So, you know, and I don't mean to insult you guys watching this. It's primarily, you know, people who jump into these episodes and watch this just to nitpick things. And, you know, now a lot of them are online just proudly displaying for all to see just how little they actually know about football. It kind of drives me nuts. So is it disappointing when his production in terms of tackles and sacks dropped off? Of course. Of course that was disappointing. But I did a Myles Garrett, TJ Watt comparison, and even with the drop-off in stats, Myles Garrett still maintained higher pass rush numbers than TJ Watt over the entire season. So over the entire course of the season, not just the beginning, not just those first two-thirds, but over the entire season, his pass rush numbers were still higher than TJ Watt's. So that means even though the tackles and sacks dropped off after that Week 12 injury, his pass rush and the impact on the defense did not. His pressure numbers prove that. After the injury in the Denver game, even though he didn't record any sacks, Myles Garrett came out and had just two pressures against the Los Angeles Rams. Pretty big down game, but again, it was questionable all week if he was even going to play. But then, after that LA Rams game, Myles Garrett had games of 7 pressures, 11, 8, 9. Those were all the highest pressure numbers of the entire season for him. So, even after the injury, he was still getting after the passer and causing fits for the offensive linemen. And one other thing to note, because a lot of people ask about double teams. So these are interesting numbers. And again, a lot of naysayers are going to say, well, PFF stats are garbage. Well, there's a reason the NFL uses PFF when it's doing its on-screen stats during the games, but whatever. Well, let's look at ESPN. Let's just look at ESPN. Myles Garrett beat a single blocker 30% of the time. That was the second most pass rush win rate by ESPN, which they track a pass rush win as beating your blocker within 2.5 seconds. So under 2.5 seconds, you beat your blocker. Because I looked, the average time to throw for quarterbacks in the NFL this season was 2.78 seconds. So do the simple math. If you're getting past your blocker in under 2.5 seconds and the average time to throw for a quarterback, they're holding the ball on average 2.78 seconds, you have a good chance of getting in the backfield while the quarterback still has the ball. So that's kind of where those numbers are coming from. So the highest pass rush win rate per ESPN was Micah Parsons at 35. Myles Garrett was second at 30. The interesting thing, when Myles Garrett faced a double team, his pass rush win rate was 29%. So essentially the same, 30 to 29, essentially the same number. So whether you had a single blocker on Myles or a double, he was winning his pass rushes at the same rate. That's a monster. That is a man right there. So I looked at TJ Watt. Very interesting. TJ Watt beat a single blocker 25% of the time, so just 5% less than Myles. But what happened whenever he was double teamed? When TJ Watt was double teamed, his pass rush win rate dropped clear down to 14%. That's a huge drop off to go from 25 to 14 whenever you get an extra blocker on you. And then you got a guy like Myles Garrett who you put an extra blocker on him, nothing changes with his pass rush win rate. So, you know, there's been a lot of slander going on against Myles Garrett. And I'm here to tell you, the guy, despite being injured, despite not racking up more sacks after the injury and all that kind of stuff, was still getting after the passer at a super high rate. And I mean, he's impacting the game. He's impacting the game. And the last thing I want to talk about with this post-injury, post-week 12 stat line for Myles Garrett, when you look at the time to throw for the quarterbacks that the Browns face, you had Matthew Stafford, his average. So I'll just list them off here. Stafford, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, Case Keenum, Trevor Siemian, and then, of course, C.J. Stroud in the wild card game. All six of those quarterbacks, when facing the Browns, when facing the defense of the Browns, Myles Garrett, the pass rush, Jim Schwartz, everything that was going on with the Browns defense, these six quarterbacks all had a much lower time to throw than their season average. So I'll just use, who do I want to use here? Trevor Siemian, 2.48 time to throw average for his entire season, which was, I think, only three games, but that was what it averaged out to against the Browns. He was dumping it off at 2.29. And I know 0.29 to 0.28 might not sound like a lot, but a tenth of a second can make all the difference. That's a whole, like Blake said the other night, that's a step for a pass rusher. So these are important numbers. If you look at C.J. Stroud, I'll just use him as my primary example. C.J. Stroud in the wild card game had a 2.46 time to throw. And for his season average, it was almost three. It was 2.93. So I mean, almost a whole half of a second quicker he was getting rid of the ball in the wild card game. So it might not have felt like Myles Garrett was doing much because he wasn't getting the quarterback on the ground. He wasn't getting sacks. He wasn't making these big tackles for loss and things like that. We have to remember that quarterbacks, opposing coordinators, coaches, by this point in the season, they had all the information they needed on the Browns defense, and it was, don't hold the ball. Just get rid of the ball. We saw it start midway through the game week one with Joe Burrow. We were up at the game, and Joe Burrow would literally catch the snap, dump, catch, dump, you know, snap, dump. It was really cool to see because the Browns were forcing three and outs, and that's why the Browns led the league in forced three and outs because of this pass rush. So when anybody tells you that pass rush wins and all that stuff doesn't matter unless it results in a sack, they're full of shit. They're absolutely full of shit. And I said the other night on the show, I posted a thing on Twitter, and the people on Facebook are really freaking out too, because I made a very snarky, sarcastic comment about Chris Jones only had four tackles, no sacks, no tackles for loss in the Super Bowl. Clearly, he sucked in that game. He was a no-show, a disappearing act, and a fraud. That was very tongue-in-cheek sarcastic, and a lot of people took it very seriously, which I love, because I have so many comments now saying, what are you talking about? His pass rush was literally the difference between touchdowns and field goals or touchdowns and punts. And I'm like, exactly. Thank you for saying that. That's exactly what I was trying to get out of you guys. Thank you for walking into my trap. So don't let anybody fool you. Myles Garrett had an all-around great season. Offenses had to game plan specifically for him. And whenever an opposing team starts on their week on a Monday, you know, the coaching staff gets together and says, we got to change up our offensive game plan completely because they have this one guy, you're making a huge difference in the game. So that's essentially what's going on with the whole court case thing right now with Deshaun Watson. Nothing new. If you take away nothing else from this episode, this video segment, just understand that it's really nothing new. These headlines and everything about having to go back to court, testifying again, it's not really what it's being made out to be. The big deal to me, and I'll go back to the top of this, is what the NFL said, and I'll kind of break this down as well. So again, this came out from NFL reporter Mike Florio, and he was suggesting essentially the league may again try to punish Deshaun Watson. So his quote, absent a settlement or dismissal, the remaining claims against Watson will go to trial at some point. Although he has been suspended 11 games by the NFL for the allegations. That's interesting, isn't it? He's been suspended 11 games by the NFL for the allegations, not for the evidence, not for the verdicts, just for the allegations, simply for the allegations. So the dude got accused and got suspended for it. Not a great precedent, NFL. Anyway, although he has been suspended 11 games by the NFL for the allegations, the league has not completely ruled out the possibility of further punishment, given the evidence that could emerge in the remaining cases and or eventual verdicts. Wow, how convenient, NFL. So you're just kind of reserving the right to continue punishing a guy. There has been nothing has been found after all these years. It's been how many years now since all this crap originally started, and there's still been, there's no verdicts, there's no evidence supporting anything. The courts have ruled on absolutely nothing. And yet he's already faced a fine. He's been forced to do, you know, behavioral counseling sessions, and he got suspended for 11 games. And a lot of my pissed offness about the situation, yeah, I think a lot of this has been really unfair for Deshaun Watson. Again, go back, watch my video about all of his counter arguments and accusations against his accusers, and you'll get a better understanding of really why. But it's really, really unfair for the Browns. I mean, the NFL is really screwing the Cleveland Browns with all of this because, again, we have a quarterback who lost over half of a season, his first season with the team, over accusations. So what's interesting is Brad Stainbrook on Twitter actually pointed out that this contradicts what Tom Pelissero reported from 2022. So I'll talk about that real quick. What Stainbrook said, the settlement covers the four cases Judge Sue L. Robinson, that was the independent arbitrator for the NFL suspension hearing, the four cases she ruled on, as well as in any substantially similar violations before the date of the agreement, which was August 18th. And that was reported by NFL Network. So any new allegations of the same conduct from 2019 to 2021 would not be subject to NFL investigation or discipline. So what Tom Pelissero here is saying, that when the NFL ruled that, you know, the suspension, the fine, the behavioral counseling, all that stuff for Deshaun Watson back in 2022, going into that season, that decision was made to cover, was made in response to, there were only four main cases that the individual or independent arbitrator heard for the NFL. It wasn't all 26, like a lot of people believe. It was just four. They picked the four that probably had the best opportunity to provide, you know, any sort of damning evidence against Deshaun Watson, because, again, all of these cases are pretty much a crock. So they picked the four that were least crocky and brought them to the NFL. She ruled six games. NFL overruled her, said 11 games. That ruling covered those four cases, as well as, according to Tom Pelissero, as well as any substantially similar violations before the date of the agreement. And that was on August 18th, 2022, prior to that NFL season. So that meant that any new allegations that come out after that ruling, any new allegations about an instance that occurred between 2019 and 2021, were already covered. He was already suspended for this stuff. He's not subject to any more investigation or discipline from the NFL. So that's why this whole situation, to me, is such bullshit that the NFL is coming out and saying that they're not ruling out any further punishment for Deshaun Watson. You've already ruled it out. I don't understand where this shit is coming from. You have already ruled on it. You have already suspended him. All of this stuff, this current case that is being talked about right now, is from that time period that was already covered with the 11-game suspension. It's over and done with. So this goes back again, and I, you know, let me know what you guys think in the comments. This is where I'm going to get really heavily opinionated, but you cannot convince me that all this punishment, the NFL overruling Sue Robinson, all this stuff did not go back to the Browns giving Deshaun Watson the largest guaranteed contract in NFL history. You can't convince me of it. The NFL was pissed off. They were pressured. If you remember this, I mean, this was reported on. They were pressured by NFL owners to do something about this contract because they looked at the Browns and said, you just gave this guy a fully guaranteed $230 million contract. That's insane. No, we can't do that. The rest of the owners were like, we can't do that. We're not going to do that. We don't want to do that. We don't want to give out these contracts to people. Don't set this precedent. You need to stop them. And that's what the NFL is doing. The NFL, as much as I love football, I love the NFL, I love watching football, I love the Browns, the NFL as an organization, as a business, is a piece of shit. It really is. There is no moral code with the NFL. Number one is money, number two is money, number three is money, number four, I guess, would be optics, and then like number five would be player safety. But it's all about money and optics, first and foremost. And that's what drives me
absolutely insane about this. And you cannot tell me that the NFL coming out right now and saying, well, we haven't ruled out further punishment against Deshaun Watson. I'm telling you, this is a bunch of bullshit. Yes, they have ruled that out. They are going back against what they have already ruled. And I hope that the Browns will not stand for this. This is a targeted attack on the Browns because of, I'm sorry, what our front office decides to do with our team's salary cap and our team's money and the owner, what our owner wants to do, should not be subject to the league's punishment because the league doesn't like it. I'm sorry. Like the Brown, this is what the Browns wanted to do with Deshaun Watson. Agree with it, don't agree with it. However you feel about the contract is your feeling. Like, that's fine. You can have your opinions on that. But the fact is, the Browns felt okay with it. The Browns were okay with doing it. They wanted to do it, and they did it. And now they should not have to be punished unreasonably for it. Now, if this was a reasonable punishment, if something came out, a new allegation came out about something that happened this past year, that's a whole different story. That's a different situation, a different case that was not covered by the original suspension. But everything that's going on right now has already been covered. So that's why it's just so stupid that this is even being talked about, that the NFL has the balls to say we are, you know, we're not ruling out further punishment. It drives me nuts. It gets me going. It fires me up. It pisses me off. And I hope the Browns do not stand for any of this bullshit either, because that's exactly what it is. Bullshit. Again, however you feel about Deshaun Watson is 100% up to you. If you guys have followed this show, you know how I feel about the whole situation. You guys know how I feel about the cases, the lack of evidence, and what evidence Watson's team presented and all that stuff. If you want to understand the situation, look into it for yourself. Do the digging, do the research. That's what I did, because when we first traded for Deshaun Watson, I'm like, well, he is now the quarterback of the team that I cover on my podcast. So if I'm going to talk about Deshaun Watson, if I'm going to talk about the team and the move to get him, I need to understand the situation. I need to make sure that I feel confident in my soul about what I believe and the way I look at everything. So that's what I did, and that's where we are today. So I know that was a lot. I know I got a little heated in there, but I saw this stuff going around the other night, and I was like, you've got to be kidding me. I can't believe that this deposition, this testifying thing is back in the news cycle, because again, it's not really news. It's just kind of like, well, no kidding. He's going to have to go back and testify again because the case is still open. And what got me from the start with this whole thing, though, was what the NFL said about not ruling out further punishment. And I felt like that had to be wrong. I felt like there was something there that just didn't seem right. And then when I went back and found this original reporting from the NFL Network about the original settlement, the original suspension for Deshaun Watson, and how everything that's already happened in that time period before, all the accusations from that time period before, he's already served his punishment for it. So the NFL is really trying to screw the Browns here. So I don't know. We will see what happens. I'll continue to cover on this stuff because I don't have a problem talking about it. I know there's a lot of people out there that are like, I don't know if I really want to touch the Deshaun Watson stuff. I don't know if I want to give my genuine opinions on it. I don't give a shit. I'll tell you guys what I think. And if you don't agree, that's fine. Just drop it in the comments. It's better to have a civil discussion than to just be like mean about it. So I'll have a civil discussion, a conversation with anybody about this whole situation. But as soon as you throw out a word like rapist or sexual predator, conversation's over, because you are clearly not going to be a reasonable debater. Those things, he wasn't even accused of those things. So let's just quit the nonsense right now. Anybody out there who is still living in the nonsense. But for all of you other dog pack people, all of you Browns fans out there who just are sick and tired of this crap from the NFL, let me hear what you think. Put it in the comments. Let's talk about it. Again, like I said, anything new developing on this, anything else that comes out, I will talk about it and we'll post it and we'll just continue to monitor the situation as time goes on. This episode is brought to you by Manly Bands. Browns fans, I have an exciting new sponsorship partner for you guys, and it is crazy how it all happened, okay? So I'm getting married soon. I went to pick out my wedding band. I did not know that the cost of gold was the highest it's ever been. So, you know, when the rings I liked and they pulled out of the case and showed me and I turned it over, saw the price tag, and they were $1,600. Yeah, I essentially crapped my pants and ran out of there. I hate jewelry stores. I hate the salespeople. I hate the selection. We went, and again, true story here, 7 different stores looking for a ring, and all of them had the most pathetic selection imaginable for men. So I said, screw it. I went to manlybands.com, and everything after that point was an incredible experience. Their selection is huge. All sorts of styles, materials. Guys, they have wedding bands made from Jack Daniel's whiskey barrels, meteorites, and even dinosaur bones. They also have a huge selection of the tungsten rings that everybody likes, cobalt chrome, and gold. And the best part was the customer service was some of the best I've ever received. In a world of AI and bots, Manly Bands keeps it real with real freaking people. The whole experience was so awesome, I asked if we could advertise for them on the show, and here we are. Screw those jewelry stores and those salespeople. Manlybands.com. Use promo code DAWGS, D-A-W-G-S, for a whopping 25% off your order. Whether you've already got a band or you're getting married in the future, check out what they have. Also, you can order a free ring size guide and they'll ship it straight to you, so you know exactly what size ring you need. And again, never step foot in a jewelry store. And also for you big fellows with the big hands, guys, they got rings up to size 20. Rings come with free engraving in the U.S., and they send you a free silicone band with your order. It's unreal. These guys are the best. Manlybands.com. Promo code DAWGS for 25% off your order.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of plan, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Before we dive into the game as a whole, I kind of want to address, because it's been like, it's been everywhere. Early in the first half, Isaiah Pacheco fumbles, and then on the sideline, Kelsey's all fired up. He's kind of in Andy Reid's face. You got some people who are just like screaming like it's the most disgraceful thing they've ever seen in their lives. You got, and then other people are like, don't care. Andy Reid obviously didn't care. Where do you guys stand on this? I know where I'm at, so I'm interested to see what you guys think about just the disgusting behavior out of Travis. Oh.
So I think that those two have a really great relationship, right? Working relationship. I was more surprised because I felt like the Chiefs are always just super composed, like in these moments. And to me, it was almost like for a few weeks now, Travis Kelce's kind of comes unglued a little bit. I mean, he was smashing his helmet like what, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. It was just kind of surprising. So when you watched it, it was like, Jesus Christ, if he would have knocked Andy Reid over, that would have been pretty bad look. I don't think it was a great look for him, but I mean, I think those two have a good enough relationship where he was like, yo, hey, he's passionate. He cares about what's going on. Probably just the wrong approach to it. Right?
I mean, it was just surprising. Again, it was one of those things where it's like, oh man, I don't know if you want to be over there ramming into your coach on the sideline at this. I mean, I understand it is the Super Bowl. It's a very emotional game. Andy Reid's like, he looked so shocked that he was about to get his ass knocked down. You know, whenever, I don't even know if it took him a minute to figure out what even happened there, but I don't know. I feel like everything gets made to be a bigger deal online.
So yes, if you go back and you watch, he doesn't even really touch him. He doesn't run into him. Andy Reid is, you know, he's kind of fat and old. So, like, he almost is more caught off guard and off balance and, like, almost falls. And then Travis Kelce's, like, grabbing him almost like, hey, don't fall over, man.
I just want to talk to you.
And he's clearly, like, fired up and yelling. But he didn't. I saw an article that said he body checked him. No, he didn't body check him. And this is what drives me crazy. And I don't like to get too political on the show, but he did a commercial. Okay, and now everybody on one side of the spectrum hates him.
Yeah,
and he could come out and feed orphans and cure somebody of cancer on camera, and people would be like, "He's a government plant. We hate him." And it's just, and it is so annoying. And it doesn't even matter like what side of the political spectrum you are on. Like both sides, people are so freaking annoying.
Yes,
like he is fired. It is the Super Bowl. Okay, he's getting older. You don't know. You're never guaranteed to go back to another one as it is. He wasn't in on the play, which is definitely, why would you not have him in down at the goal line? But he's fired up. And if Andy Reid doesn't care and they have a good enough relationship that you can do this kind of stuff, me and Justin have worked together and literally yelled at each other and screamed at each other about things at work. It's work. Like,
yeah.
I also think that there's something that a lot of, I guess there's, it seems like people don't understand as much anymore that between guys, like men, this kind of stuff happens all the time. Yes. And I'm not trying to say like men this, women that, but we don't take things nearly as personal. Like,
correct.
You come over, body check me because you're pissed off that you weren't in the game and you want to win. Okay, we'll get over this.
Yeah, like
you
know what 2 minutes mean? Later, yeah, I probably forgot.
Yeah, we're chest bumping each other because something cool happened. Like, it's okay. You know, we get fired up, we get passionate. I mean, it's one of those running joke things that you hear all the time. Like, guys will go out in the parking lot and throw down, then pick each other up, go in and grab a beer. Like, it just is what it is.
Yes. So, like, to the people, I was curious to see what you guys thought, what the chat thought in terms of, I'm just seeing it, like, he should have been benched.
So, if he would have been, if it was that big of a deal to Andy Reid, because Andy Reid's the kind of guy, he's I think if he really had took offense to it, he would have benched him. He came out, Travis Kelce came out second half, had 8 catches for 92 yards.
Yes, he balled out.
Mm-hmm. They focused on him. So whatever, I'd be interested in hearing that mic'd up. I'm pretty sure I know what he said because I'm pretty good at, lip reading. But
I'm pretty sure I saw like a couple minutes later, like Travis Kelce went back up to him and like hugged him and said, sorry about that. And they like kind of like chuckled it off.
And that's how
it goes. But of course they didn't show that anywhere.
No. Right.
You know what I mean? So that's one of those things. Like, I pretty much hate the universe and the world anymore. Like, you just, you have to base your entire opinion, like, based on who you're going to vote for president anymore. And it's just so fucking annoying. God, I hate it.
I know, man.
You can't watch like, movies anymore. You can't watch football anymore. Like, it's just, I don't know. Maybe I'm the weird one, but I can watch a movie that has somebody in it that I know that I might think they're a dumbass in real life, but they're sweet in this movie and I can still enjoy that movie. I can watch a football player who maybe made a commercial I didn't like and still think he's a good football player and enjoy the football game. Maybe I'm the weird one.
I've said that to people before. I've said, I'm not trying to be best friends with these guys.
Yes.
Like, I'm not trying to hang out with them or whatever. It just, enjoy the game. Just enjoy the freaking game. My goodness, people.
Yeah. So I was just curious to see what everybody's thoughts were on that. The more that I thought about the game itself, I guess we'll talk about the Chiefs then, is where does this put Mahomes in your guys's GOAT category? We talked about it a little bit before the game. Like, was he already up there? Chiefs are officially a dynasty now.
Okay. Sure.
I mean, if they weren't already, they're officially a dynasty.
I would have called them that to begin with, yes, or before this, but yeah.
But 3-1 in Super Bowls definitely looks a lot better than 2-2. You know what I mean? How long does the dynasty last? And can anybody catch them? Is anybody even close? I guess there's a lot to unpack there. But I guess so we can start with, is Mahomes your GOAT?
Is he my GOAT?
Is he the GOAT? Your GOAT?
Okay, so
however you want to answer it.
So I think for like this group right here, us, our generation's GOAT is Tom Brady. We grew up watching Tom Brady. Hate him or love him, he was that dude. He was the dude that had the rings. He was the one that was always in the Super Bowl. There's a generation coming up of kids and younger guys and girls now that Patrick Mahomes is that guy. And I think that, is he Tom Brady GOAT right now? No. But is he staking the claim to be there? Absolutely. I mean, the kid is 28. He's got 3 Super Bowl rings, 3 MVPs, and he lost one also. He's been in 6 straight AFC championship games. I mean, like, if you really look at, and it's not like, oh, hey, I took less money. Like, he was that guy for a lot of years. He was the dude. You know what I mean? When I watch Patrick Mahomes, he's like one of the best quarterbacks I've ever watched. Some of the stuff that he does is just phenomenal. So I don't think that you can say, oh, he's taken over Tom Brady as the GOAT, but is he on his way to that? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Tom Brady played until he's what, 43, 44? This kid's 28. Mm-hmm. He's not even 30 yet.
I mean, wild. If you, to use the words of Tony Romo, it's the Patrick Mahomes mystique.
Oh God. Right? Well,
how many times did we have to hear that BS on the broadcast?
Luckily we had people at the house. I
was,
the
volume was low.
Yeah. Tom Brady's still, I would say, the GOAT because he's the most accomplished over a span of time. Got all the records, all the Super Bowls. But I think you can say that, like, I think it's Patrick Mahomes is the best player that's ever played quarterback.
I think
you can say that already.
What he
can do at that position is different than what other guys can do at that position. You know, it's, and they talk about it all the time. It's the athleticism, it's the arm angles, it's just, he's just so freaking smart out there. And whenever it came down to that overtime, when they got the ball back after the 49ers kicked that field goal, and I might be jumping ahead a little bit here, but they kept showing Patrick Mahomes on the field after each play and the way he was like just orchestrating the offense and instructing everybody what to do, where to go, what we're doing here on the field. And it's just a look in his eye. I don't know how to explain it, but I just saw a look. I'm like, they're going to freaking win this game because he's in the, like, that was a zone. Well, you could see the zone in his eyes.
I knew they were going to win when they kicked a field goal in overtime and there's 2 minutes to go, essentially, and they had 2 timeouts. I was like, and then they just let him go 4 plays right down the field, just dump offs. I don't know what the Niners' defensive strategy was or in regulation. What was the their strategy in regulation when they go up 3 and there's 1:43 left, I believe, and Patrick Mahomes has 2 timeouts? Why are you playing soft coverage and just letting him 3 plays? They were in field goal range.
It looked casual.
Yeah.
And it never looked rushed. It never looked like a 2-minute drill. It looked like, oh, we're going to go down the field here and no big deal.
Like, what were they doing? Pastor Rob up here says, did they give Mahomes the MVP? Yes. I don't know who would get it, but OMG Participation Award, if I've ever, I'm guessing you might see one. Who else would you give it to?
For the Chiefs?
Yeah.
Yeah, for the Chiefs, I don't
know. Maybe their kicker?
Yeah.
When you have 3 field goals, 4 field goals, and a record?
He had like a little over half their points. Mahomes was 34 of 46 for 332 yards, 2 touchdowns, the pick, and he had a 99.3 quarterback rating and a 75.8 QBR.
Pretty sure he had 60 rush yards, too.
66. Yeah, and he had 66 rush yards. Like, where, and one of them was like a huge scramble late. Who else was I don't understand why this is considered a participation trophy.
I mean,
and he did it against what's considered arguably top 3 defense in all of football.
After the weekend we've had too as Browns fans, the last thing I ever want to hear again is participation trophy. Yes. So I don't buy that for 1 second. I think he was definitely the MVP for the Chiefs. Now, if it were the 49ers, I would have gone maybe somebody on their defensive side, Jawan Jennings.
Yes. Yep. I think CMC. You could
CMC.
Even,
they had a few guys that were really contributing, and I feel like the Chiefs had kind of, it was spread out. You know what I mean? Like, yes, Travis Kelce was the leader, but, you know, on the receiving end. But, I mean, Rashee Rice did some nice things. Mecole Hardman did some nice things. Nobody, I mean, Pacheco did what he needed to do except for the fumble. On defense, I mean, Chris Jones was all over, you know, in Purdy's face. And I forget what's the one cornerback's name? McDuffie?
That was a great play.
They just had a lot of players play really well. But I think overall, Mahomes, without him, you don't go down the field like that. You don't score those points. You don't win that game.
Yes, he just always makes the right play. His scrambling, you don't think of him in terms of like he's not a Lamar runner, not even really like a Josh Allen. But we've talked about it even if you go back to when the Browns played him in the playoffs a couple years ago. His scrambling on third down, it's crazy how he just keeps drives alive with his feet. He can throw on the run from every arm angle. Like I said, I don't know if you can call him the greatest of all time yet in terms of career, because he's so far behind in terms of what Brady finished with, because Brady played 20 years. And Brady beat him in a Super Bowl. But if the guy plays 15 more years like this, he's going to dwarf every record. He's already, he's like, if you look at the first so many years of their career, what he's played to so far compared to Tom Brady's, he's killing him in essentially every category.
I think there's only like three guys really, like Tom Brady, Joe Montana, Patrick Mahomes is right there now.
Well, and that's one thing, if we're going to, you know, the whole GOAT discussion, I do like thinking of it more in eras too, because the game of football is so different right now than it was when Tom Brady was first starting out in his first 10 years in the game. I mean, it was run and defense, and then him just being able to pick apart a defense underneath and all that kind of stuff, where the Chiefs can actually go to Mahomes and say, go win us the game. Go throw for 300 plus yards. And I definitely think what you said earlier is true. Like, Brady's got to be the GOAT of our generation, but Mahomes of this generation is the GOAT already, I think.
Oh, great. Yeah. It's honestly, I don't even think there's anybody really that close. Like, you'll hear Josh Allen, you'll hear this stuff, but I mean, not
when it comes to accolades and
Joe Burrow always plays well against them.
Yeah.
Joe Burrow, and this isn't a Joe Burrow hate session. Joe Burrow has the luxury of throwing to T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, Jamar Chase. He has Joe Mixon. Patrick Mahomes just won the Super Bowl with the worst wide receiving core in football.
Mecole Hardman caught the game winner.
They led the league in drops by, like, I'm pretty sure, a significant margin. They had the worst wide receiver core in football. If this was the year to beat them, this was the year to do it. If you didn't beat them this year, this goes into my next point. How long does it last? They traded Tyreek Hill 2 years ago, and they won two Super Bowls without him.
Right. And everybody thought they were done.
Yeah.
As soon as they traded Tyreek Hill.
They replaced Tyreek Hill with Valdez Scantling, who can't catch a cold half the time.
Most of the time.
And Kadarius Toney. Who catches the cold all the time.
He's
not even going to be in the league, probably.
Right.
And he just won back-to-back Super Bowls. Like, so who catches him? How long does it last? Because, like, I think it solidified the reason why the Browns made the move at quarterback they did. You're not going to beat this guy. And I'm not even person that thinks, like, I think Brock Purdy is better than what most people like to give him credit for. You're not beating Patrick Mahomes with that.
We talked about that before you got in here. We were talking about how you still need an elite quarterback.
You have to. It's if ever we thought, man, maybe this was like almost like a changing of guard. Like, if you have a great defense, maybe you don't have to have the top three, top five quarterback guy. I mean, well, that point's blown up, because the same guy just proved again, like, hey, you need to have elite level quarterback play.
This wasn't even his best season.
No,
overall, like the regular season, Patrick Mahomes had a down year, you would say.
But we thought they were done.
That's who I wanted.
All year.
That's who I wanted the Browns to play in the playoffs. I was like, if we could get the Chiefs somehow, I think we could, they're reeling. We could take them. And then they just won the Super Bowl.
Yep.
They had a good defense. And I thought Quincy Carrier made a good point on Twitter too. He said, this kind of puts to bed the narrative that you can't pay your quarterback top dollar and still go win. Patrick Mahomes got $500 million.
Right.
And won two Super Bowls. Like, if your guy is that guy, yes, you can. I mean, he just won it with Scantling, Kadarius Toney. I mean, Rashee Rice ended up being nice.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to go on to be nice. But, man, like, if they add a guy in free agency, you know they're going to. They're not going to waste Reed. They're not going to waste the last year or two of Kelsey. They're definitely not going to waste Patrick Mahomes. Like, they're going to go add somebody. And I think I saw they're in a good spot financially to go do so. I mean, it goes through Kansas City until it's just like it went through Foxborough and it goes through Kansas City now. Now the Chiefs did have a great defense this year. They faced the number 2, 3, 4, and 6 offense in the playoffs, which combined to average 28.3 points per game this season. And they held them to, they averaged 15.8 against Kansas City in the playoffs. So the 12.5 points under their average in the playoffs against the Chiefs. Their defense was very good. You give Pat Mahomes that kind of defense.
Yep.
Yep.
He's going to win Super Bowl.
We thought they were super just kind of disrespected. Well, I felt like I've said it for a few weeks now, like their defense is really, really good, but you don't hear about them because Patrick Mahomes is on that team. Travis Kelce is on that team. You have Andy Reid. I think it's interesting. Chris Jones is a free agent. So I think if they want to keep something going there, they should probably.
Adam Schefter said that he doesn't think Jones wants to leave.
Right.
But he would, if people just start throwing stupid money at him, it's hard to turn down stupid money.
Stupid money is hard to turn down, for sure.
But he doesn't think Chris Jones wants to leave. Why would you want to?
Right.
If you keep winning Super Bowls, you're going to keep getting endorsements. You're going to keep
legacy.
You're going to make your fame. Money. You're going to keep getting contracts. Like, you don't need to get one $100 million contract if you can get three $40 million contracts. Like, in that, obviously the math is, I was just giving you an example.
Yeah. Idiot.
Don't come at me, you know, math people.
This isn't the math show.
Yeah.
What's up, Ohio? Don't miss out on this fantastic offer from DraftKings for the big game. New customers who sign up with our promo code THEDOGS, all one word, and place a $5 first bet will instantly receive $200 in bonus bets. You'll get 8 $25 bonus bet tokens, allowing you to make multiple wagers with your reward. These tokens are valid for 7 days, giving you time to find your favorite bets. If you download the DraftKings app before the big game, make sure to sign up with our code THEDOGS to get your $200 of bonus bets. This offer is only available for new customers who are 21 and older and physically present in Ohio. Please gamble responsibly. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Check the episode description for the full terms of the offer to see if you qualify. This episode is sponsored by Omaha Steaks. Browns fans, if you missed out on the 4 chicken breasts and 4 pork chops that Omaha Steaks was doing here recently, don't worry. You can head to omahasteaks.com/dogs, D-A-W-G-S, today, and you'll get 4 free steak burgers added to any order over $99. Plus, if you have an order that's over $149, use code DOGS, D-A-W-G-S, when you check out, and you'll get $30 off of that order. So right now is the perfect time to stock up. Load up that cart, guys. Steak, burgers, chicken, jumbo franks, desserts, ready-to-eat meals. They got seafood. They've got so many different things at Omaha Steaks, and all of it. I've had all of it except for the seafood. I'm not going to lie. I'm not much of a seafood eater myself. My fiance thinks I'm weird, but that's okay. Everybody is their own person, but the rest of the food, I've had it all and it is phenomenal. So head to omahasteaks.com/dogs right now. Get 4 free burgers on any order over $99 and use promo code DOGS when you check out on any order over $149 and get $30 off your order today. omahasteaks.com/dogs. Minimum order may apply.
So is anybody in the AFC, who's the closest to taking them down?
I mean, going into this year, I would have said, I think Buffalo's still there. I think Baltimore looked like a team that I thought that they were going to be extremely difficult to get out. I thought that they were going to be the team that, unfortunately, I was going to have to watch them win a Super Bowl.
There's like, it's hard for me to say that it's the Ravens and the Bills, though, when
we just watched that.
Yes. I mean, the Ravens are loaded. All we heard from every single Ravens fan who couldn't stay out of our comments up until they lost and all of a sudden magically they're gone.
Yeah, I haven't heard much.
Yeah.
It's very quiet.
Is just how it's the best roster in all of football and they couldn't beat him.
Yeah.
If the Bills couldn't beat them this year, when are they going to beat them?
Right. I agree.
You know what I mean? I think you'd have to, the Bengals, depending on what they keep together, they've kind of had the Chiefs' number. I don't know. Hopefully the Browns. But it's going to take Deshaun Watson being that guy that we paid for. If anything less, you saw what it's going to take.
And it's kind of, I mean, I guess the one encouraging thing is when the last time Deshaun Watson played Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs, they were up big. And then the Houston defense just totally shit the bed and Patrick Mahomes did his thing. But at least Watson was out there going toe-to-toe.
For a half. I don't remember how many points they scored in the second half.
I don't know how many they scored, but I know how many the Chiefs scored, and it was enough to beat them. That game was crazy.
But it's going to take top-level QB play to go into Kansas City and beat that guy. So then you kind of shift to the other side. And Andrew Jackson had a super chat up there. He said something is Shanahan the worst, like one of the worst big-time, big-game coaches. 0-3, one of those, obviously, he was a coordinator, offensive coordinator in Atlanta, but they're up 28-3 and lost. He's calling plays. It's the biggest comeback in Super Bowl history. And both times with the Niners, he's had 10-point leads, and they lose. I will say this. We are friends with a guy who's a huge 49ers fan, and he was telling me for the last 2 weeks leading up to this game, he was worried about Kyle. He didn't trust Kyle. He looks at Kyle Shanahan almost as like a weakness of their team.
Really?
Yes. Like he thinks like he's good, but he doesn't think he's like this, the GOAT or like just this top level guy, like the media and some people, because he watches him every week, follows him nonstop. And he sees some of the stuff he does in terms of clock management. Their injuries are so high, he thinks, because some like using Debo as a running back and then wondering why he's getting hurt. Mm. You know what I mean? Like his usage, he just plugs and plays people. He doesn't take into account like body and all that kind of stuff, usage. He runs them into the ground. Like I'm not going to say he wants him fired, but he's not like this guy that he thinks is completely untouchable. And I've kind of mentioned this before. I said something on Twitter last night, like, at what point do you have a conversation about Kyle Shanahan? And they said, Stefanski's just Shanahan light. And I said, I'd make the argument that Stefanski is better. He's done, at least in terms of win percentage, more with less. Kyle Shanahan,
yeah,
when he was in Atlanta for a year, had the MVP and Matt Ryan.
Yep.
Had Julio Jones. Did they have Roddy White then? I don't remember if that was.
Did they have Ridley, though?
Calvin Ridley, Julio Jones, MVP Matt Ryan. Okay, Dan Quinn's the head coach who obviously knows defense, great defensive guy. When he's been with the Niners, they're freaking loaded.
Yeah.
He made the Super Bowl. The NFC is trash. They have the most complete roster in football. It's arguably not even close. Top to bottom, it's the best roster in football.
I agree.
Of course he wins lots of games and he has postseason success. But, man, CMC at one point had 9 carries. Ray's texting me like, run the freaking ball. you have the guy who just won Offensive Player of the Year and you're not giving him the ball.
Rushing and leader. It was working. The rush attack was working.
Oh, was it ever? Yeah.
I don't know.
So, where's the narrative going to change about him? Because I feel like he can do no wrong in terms of the media's eyes.
I mean, San Francisco's not going to fire him. I mean, no, you know what I mean?
You know what? You can't. I don't think you could fire him.
Right.
Is he going to learn? Because, again, when I said I can make the argument Kevin's better, Kevin and I believe Kevin and Kyle's win percentage are very close, like very, very close. And obviously, Kyle has the postseason success. He's had the way better rosters. Okay. Kevin has done it with rosters that on paper should have been good, but he had tons of injuries dealing with backup quarterbacks, and they win at least the same percentage of games. And Kyle Shanahan, without his starting quarterback, is 30 games under 500.
And one thing that I couldn't help thinking last night was, you know, they played the Chiefs a few years ago with Jimmy Garoppolo, and they came up short. So it was get rid of Jimmy. Spend all these draft picks, go draft Trey Lance. We have to get that elite quarterback, right, to beat Patrick Mahomes to be able to win this game. And then they don't even use Trey Lance, trade him away, bring in Brock Purdy, go to the game, and come up short again. So at what point is it your quarterback's issue, and what point is it your coach?
To me, there was they were on their way to winning that Super Bowl. I think that muff punt was completely a momentum change. Yep. Like I, at one point I was like, well, Kansas City is pretty much, they're toast right now. They couldn't move the ball. They couldn't do anything. I felt like that they were just kind of defeated. And then that punt was huge. You think about even at the beginning of the game, the CMC fumble, even though it didn't matter, you come out with points there. It really came down to a missed extra point.
It was blocked, right?
Yeah, correct. Yeah, blocked extra point. You know, you have a CMC fumble. There was just points that were left off the board and opportunities. And just, I felt like when they made mistakes, they were just so critical that you look back on the entire game. At the time, it didn't matter. It's like, oh, hey, Kansas City didn't score any points either. But you look back at the entirety of the game, you're like, that they had them beat.
Yeah, they dominated the game basically for three quarters and lost.
Yeah.
Where do you guys, how much stock do you put into the story that the 49ers players didn't know the overtime rules?
Did you see what Armstead said?
And then you hear the Chiefs guy came out and said, every week in the playoffs during meetings, we had OT rules covering and strategy
yeah.
for overtime.
I didn't catch that. That's
every week in the playoffs. And they said they did it twice during Super Bowl week because they had 2 weeks to prepare. And there's 49ers players who didn't even know the new rules. Shanahan came out and said he wanted they kicked because they wanted to have the third possession in case they scored and Kansas City matched. They wanted to have the ball with a chance that any score would win it. But like I if you go down and you only get three, or even if you get seven, now the Chiefs know they got four downs every play.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay, they got four downs every play. The clock then essentially doesn't matter because each team, you get your possession. So like you heard, some people were confused. Tony Romo was saying like, this is just like the first quarter.
Yeah,
right.
And it's because they get their full possession. The clock didn't matter. So it just would have went to basically quarter number two of overtime and they could have kept going. So kicking it made no sense to me.
I'm with you on that. Yep. Everything I've heard about that.
And does the players not knowing the rules, does it really matter? Probably, you probably told them what to do. Like you went and got them and you told them what you wanted to do. It's a coin toss. But it kind of shows to your preparation.
Right. When you're selling them at the coin toss.
Yes. You know what I mean? Like, so it's just, I don't know.
So, were you surprised by the decision at the coin toss? Because they won the coin toss. Were you thinking almost like a college football approach where you're like, we want them to go first. We want to take defense first. Because it really doesn't, and with the new overtime rule, it doesn't matter. If they score a touchdown, you still get a possession.
Yes.
So you're saying, yeah.
And just because I didn't really catch all the new overtime rules. So say the 49ers kick the ball, Chiefs go and they fumble or they throw an interception, 49ers get the ball, go down and score. That's game over, right?
That's done.
So that's another reason for me to want to give the other team the ball first. Like, I'll give you the first chance to make a mistake.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's a lot easier, too, to sit here the next day and go,
Well, if you know I get what you're saying.
It's been
the rules all year, though.
Right.
So you would think, like, especially if you have 2 weeks to prepare, you'd be sitting with your coaches coming up with a strategy.
Just in case.
It's not sudden death in you. Obviously, 5 years ago, you take the ball.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You take the ball.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Dogs Podcast. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube and follow us on Twitter at the Dogs Podcast. Get your thoughts on the show at thedogspodcast.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.